The title is Mission Opportunities in the MENA Area, and MENA Area is Middle East and North Africa, right? So actually this is an area geographically that covers almost like, depending on which countries you include, but it could actually cover like 500 million people. This is like starting from West Africa, from Morocco, all the way to Iran. And if you go above, I mean north, there would be Turkey. Turkey could be included in this area, of course. And then south, Sudan, which are all big countries. Like Turkey has like 70 million people. Sudan has like maybe 40 million. A lot of people. That's what we are talking about. And I just as a thought, like I think that I sometimes say that if you have been ever holding a menu in your hand, you are a very privileged person. Like most of the people in the world have never seen a menu with many choices and opportunities. But we are those people with a menu in our hand. We have opportunities. We even can choose to go or not to go. Isn't that amazing? That's like, we are very privileged. We are a very selected, small, privileged group of people. And besides that, we have an amazing teaching that has been invested in us, an amazing message, an amazing support, an amazing encouragement, continuing encouragement. What more do we need, really? Like, we ran out of excuses, and I like that, especially in the missions day, that we are running out of excuses. I saw a campaign they did in Finland last week, a couple of weeks ago maybe. And I mean, there might be a lot of opinions about it, but I just want to mention it because it was done by the Salvation Army in Finland. And we used to have a female president, Tarja Halonen. And so they dressed her up as a black woman and took a picture of her sitting on the street. You know, she was the model, and they got clothes from the Salvation Army and dressed her up and put her to sit on the street, and like a, you know, street person, homeless person. And then the title said something like, you know, bad luck can happen to anyone. And it was a very powerful message, actually. You know, we might have our opinions about her and so as a person, but that's not what I'm talking about. But I think the message was very powerful. That really, a lot of people who are born in this area that we are talking about, that they are born into a society where they have no opportunities, not to even mention about education. In many of the countries, I mean, people are illiterate. Like, you know, of course, Sahara Desert and so on and so on. So we come from this background of being privileged, and there is a danger that we come like from above because I was born in Europe or because, you know, I'm so-and-so. But I think that it's so beautiful in our message that we honor people. And every person on this planet should have the right to be proud of their nationality. Like, you know, it's not just one or two nations or a selected small group of people who should have the right to be a little bit nationalistic. I think every person has the God-given right to be proud of that what they were born into. And I'm thinking about the Arab people. They are really amazing people. And how there's so much, like, you know, evil information about them. And I'm not afraid to say that because I know that their Satan is, like, really discouraging Christian churches from reaching out to them. And it's really a satanic thing. It's in media, it's everywhere. Yeah, there are terrorists. I know. Don't talk to me about it. I know. I'm very familiar with that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about 500 million people, right? Yeah. and they need Christ. And I believe that our presence in this region is extremely important. Greater grace needs to be in this region. And I count it now as just as a interest for us. You know, there are actually 22 countries maybe could be counted in this area. And when you start from Morocco, you go to Western Sahara, then Morocco, then Algeria, Tunis, Libya, Egypt, Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, Turkey, Iraq, Iran, and then you have the Gulf area, then you have Israel, Palestine, they're probably separated, we could mention, and then Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Oman, finally you come to Oman, Yemen. I mean, these are really big nations, all of them. Some of them really big. Like, I was shocked to understand that, for example, a country, Algeria, I don't know anything about it, really. And it's a country of 40 million people, right next to Europe, so to say, really. I mean, very much French-speaking country, and it's there, and we could have a presence there. And I counted that we have actually, at the moment, we have like maybe 18 adults from Greater Grace in this area, which is amazing. I mean, it wasn't like that a couple of years ago, but we have at the moment, we have 18 Greater Grace adults living permanently in this area. And that means we include now Turkey, we include Cyprus also, we include Israel, of course, we include Oman, and what else? Any other country? Bahrain, yes. And that's amazing. And my prayer is that if God gives us another year, that we would double that. That we would not have just 18 adults, but we would have 36. Are you with me?
Yes.
Let's pray. And God will raise up people. And a couple of things I want to just mention. And then I just really want to just hear a short thing, very short thing, from different men who are representing some of these countries. We have Hussein here, who has been living in Kuwait. He has something to tell you. I want them to tell something from their hearts, what they wish that you would know about these areas. And then we have Pastor Elshan, who is going to speak about Iran. Then we have Pastor Adam, who's going to say something about Morocco. And he's going to say something about Cyprus. And I just want these different portions from the area because, then you understand what we are talking about. But one of the misconceptions about these areas is that there are no Christians there. But the fact is that of course the oldest churches in the world are in this area, starting from Syria, Iraq, you know, Jordan, all this. I mean, they were there long before our countries even existed. They already had churches in this area. And then besides that, people often think that in the Arab world there are no Christian churches, there are no opportunities for Christians to minister and to be there. That's not true. They are filled with churches. The problem is that there's very little Arab-speaking population in the churches. And there are a couple of reasons for that. It's not just that it's against the law for them to be in the churches. That's one important reason, obviously, you know. But many of these countries, the Sharia, there is no Sharia law, of course. They are just try to be very modern societies, so they would not be publicly saying that a local person is not allowed to go to a Christian church. But that's one of the reasons why the churches don't have an Arab population. But the second reason is that many of the churches are not ready to receive the Arab population. And this is true, of course, about traditional churches especially, and we understand that, because they've been coexisting with the Muslim, you know, population all these years, and there is no connection. When it comes to faith, there is no connection. But yes, socially, culturally, you know, we respect, love one another from a distance. But there is no connection. There is no evangelism, right? So, but we have huge churches, all expat churches, meaning foreigners who have come to work in the person, in the Arabian Peninsula. There are probably over a million, I'm sure over 1 million born-again believers who are in different countries. And many of them, like I know many Indians, for example, who got saved in Saudi Arabia. It's amazing. Like our pastor in Bahrain, Pastor Lance, he got saved in Saudi Arabia. It sounds weird, doesn't it? But it's true, you know, because there are so many foreigners who are born again, and they have home meetings, but they also have meetings in church buildings. So there are church buildings. In Oman, for example, we have two big church compounds, big churches, and there are thousands of believers that gather there publicly, not secretly. The parking lot is as full as at this parking lot here. Fridays, you go out and you see all nations come together, except the Omanis are not there. And that's where we are interested in. We really believe that our presence there, we will be able to bring them into the kingdom. But why I say this is that you will not be in a place where you are like in dark, you know, secret, you know, in the darkness, you know, afraid to go out from your house because they will chop off your head, you know, and that stuff, you know. It's not that way at all. These countries are very comfortable countries to live in, and there are a lot of opportunities to work. You get good salary if you have a good job, if you have a good profession. And besides that, there are also a lot of opportunities to minister. You just don't tell anyone that you are ministering. Don't make that mistake that you go to ask for a permission that may I evangelize. Now, one of our statements is that we evangelize people so that they don't understand that they are being evangelized. Right? But of course, we carry our message, we reach out to people, and it's very possible. So let's have Pastor Elshan come first, and then maybe Hussein next, and then Pastor Adam and Pastor Speedy and yeah.
Hello, everyone. I'm very proud to say that Iran is the neighbor country to Azerbaijan, and God just placed that beautiful country next to my country. And out of 70 million population of Iran, I would say the big part of it, like 30 million approximately, is Azerbaijani people. And yeah, we love Iranians, we love Iran, and beautiful land. A lot of negative reports about Iran and the Muslim world in media, as we heard from the pastor. And I was just thinking, sometimes I hear some negative thoughts about Quran, about Islam, about Muslims. In a way, I'm against that. Do we know Islam? Like, do we know Quran? I don't know, really. Like, I don't have even Muslim background. I live in the Muslim, so-called Muslim world. But I think the more we speak negative about Islam, Quran, and Muslim people, the less we will have willing to go there. I think it's better to talk about things that we know a little bit, like grace of God, love of God, forgiveness of God. I think that kind of thoughts would move us more towards people who need that. But I don't know, my wife and I were at honeymoon in Iran. I've been going back and forth to Iran for almost like 18 years. I don't have that courage so far to move to Iran, but I pray that God would open the door, give me peace, that I would move and try myself to live there for 1 year at least and see what it means to be in very radical, fundamental Muslim world. But so far, we are going back and forth, like every year, 5 times, 6 times. This year, it didn't happen so far, but we plan to go there in August. And I never was stopped and insulted because I'm Christian. And we don't hide our faith. We don't propagate Christianity in Iran, saying that, you know, we came and we are ministering there. But whenever ordinary people asked me about my faith, or I asked them something, I would openly say that I'm Christian, and I never had any like aggressive attitude towards me. I even was in the police station for 2.5 hours back maybe 8-9 years ago, and the police officer was asking me, "Are you Muslim?" And I was very much afraid. Actually, it was I think 9 years ago. I thought, that's it. Now he's going to dig it, and then he will find out that I'm Christian, and finito caputo. And I said, no, I'm not Muslim. And right away, he asked the second question, are you communist? So he didn't even think that I could be, you know, Christian, which was like a very good point for me. And I said, no, I'm not communist either, but I believe in God, but I cannot lie saying that I am Muslim because I don't follow the Sharia and doing those things that real Muslims should do, but I believe in God in my heart. And so he was kind of giving me some exhortation that I would become Muslim, but anyways.
Thanks, Pastor Elson. Yeah, like one of our pastors, he was asked in Central Asia, they asked him, they started to be suspicious, maybe he's a Christian, and they asked in a conference, are you a Christian? He said, I'm not Catholic. He couldn't lie, but he was like, God gave him this wisdom to say, I'm not Catholic. Okay, before Hussein comes, let's have the ladies come and give a short word. Just something about the ladies in Oman and working among them. This is Vanita and Sylvie.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Vanita. This is Sylvie. And Aneta is also there. So... Yeah, the ladies in Oman are very precious. They're very modern and yet very traditional, and they love meeting, talking. You know, they love people to tell them good things about their country, about their culture. So we usually start with that, and then we try and ask, you know, a few probing questions to find out where they're at, and then take it from there. It's very possible that you could have a friend for a long time, and it would be, you know, a longer time before you actually share deeper things with them. But it's difficult to go beneath the surface because they keep coming back to, you know, religion and culture. So we need wisdom, and we need God to give us words to minister to them.
Yeah, just reflecting on Vanita, I think that also, like, my generation of Omanis is just, it's really a privilege to be among them. And they have a huge hunger for spiritual things, and they are searching. Like, most of the time, they find some kind of spiritual book in the bookstore, or they read it. So those who are educated, it's very easy to talk about God, because they are hungry for it. I think they are seeking personal things. So it sometimes like comes like this even, because they are just so. I'm very privileged to be with these people, I think it's a very, very important time in history or like in their lives and in this generation. Yeah.
It takes time to be, it's really easy to make friends, like women, because they are everywhere, but it takes time to be able to talk to them really deep. And the condition of the woman in those countries are, even more worse than we can imagine. I mean, they are stuck in their home with children. Most of the time, there are 1, 2, 3, or 4 wives. So you can imagine what is their life. So God is working in us first. Like we are the mission field, like somebody said, to be able to go and touch their heart, really, because it's not a shallow discussion. We cannot reach them by like blah blah talking. It will take time.
Thank you. Thank you, girls. Good job. Let's welcome Hussein.
Hi, everybody. I just want to like say like what Pastor Matty says. Like we are like the many of our people, in particular for the Arab people. And like Omanian nation is like very humble people, and they listening, and like the Arab people, most of them they hiding that fear and that like secret life, because they afraid to talk about like something they family they never talk about, and they looking for like the way to get out from like this fear. And because like in the culture, like the Arab culture, they always telling them about like God is like, you know, is like you can talk to him, you have like to have someone like to first go to him, and this person can guide you to God, which is like the prophets. But like as a like a person, like I'm Arab person, and I never know that like I can talk to God directly without any prophet. And I never know like I can like I call him a father. We never know that. Like when I first time when I like know about that, like I can call God father, that was like awesome, like confidence like for me. And you can like share with you like only like God everything, and you can like get the answer right away from him. And like I just want to encourage you guys, like do not afraid to talk to the people, like Arab people, Persian or like Middle Eastern people. They open to listen, because they love to hear like about love of God, because like they always telling them you have to do this to get to God, you have to do that to get to God, but they never know God is only love, is grace. They just need to know, like they need just they know like they have to do something for God, to sacrifice something to get to God, but they know they don't know like God is everywhere, is close. They don't need to go somewhere to see him. They can see him wherever they are, and like feel free to talk to them. And like share with them, and maybe you guys will like get like a little bit affected about like strange and like answer questions they question you, but feel free to talk to them, and they will listen.
Yeah, Pastor Adam, come.
So very quickly, a few months ago, just before Eurocon, a few of us went to Morocco for a few days, and all my concepts about it was blown, like within a few hours. I had been to Zanzibar, which is 99% Muslim, but it's really part of Tanzania, so there's no like legal restrictions against Christianity. So when I was going to Morocco, I thought, okay, no button, just keep my cell phone Bible. And Pastor they wanted to bring tracts. So Pastor Shabelli said, Fino's got the tracts. She's like 76-year-old. So they won't bother her. But actually, the border was so, like, you know, just free. No one checked any of our bags. We just walked through and just felt an amazing liberty, actually. I mean, we were just there a few days, so amateur tourists, but you know, you know, just met in an ice cream shop, prayed before we went out soul winning, walked two steps from the ice cream shop, you know, met some young men. How are you? You know, do you believe in God? Just very direct. One said, oh, I used to, until 2 years ago, I stopped believing him. And then my life started going down, and now I think he's there, but I don't know how to get there. James Bryson gave his testimony about how he got saved in jail, and he's translating to his friend, Muhammad. And halfway through the translate, he just stops translating, and his mouth is open, and he says, this is touching my heart, you know? And then they pray with us, and then the next day they come soul winning with us, and then the next day they come soul winning with us. And so we nickname Muhammad Mo. And the other guy, we've been in contact with him every week since then, just doing, you know, Bible studies on the phone. And last week he said, I got a problem, Pastor. He said, it's Ramadan, and I haven't told my parents I've become a Christian. So I said, why didn't you just have a Christian Ramadan? You can fast to Jesus and pray that they get saved. And he's like, yeah. So we're praying and desiring that we can be part of something, you know, there. Go back and.
Amen. Pastor Larry, come. Yeah. Pastor Larry is in an interesting place in Cyprus because it's kind of very central in many ways.
Yeah, Nicosia, the capital of Cyprus, is the last divided capital of the world since a civil war in 1970. Well, it wasn't really a civil war, Turkey invaded and occupied the north of Cyprus. but that being said, you know, the relationship between the north and south of Cyprus is much better now. And as a result, we're able to go over the border into northern Cyprus and talk with people. And both sides of Cyprus officially there's freedom of religion. And so I think if they found out that we are going there evangelizing, probably next time I got to the border, if they knew my name, I probably wouldn't get over the border. But that being said, you know, I get over the border easily. I've just made friends with the Turkish Cypriot pastor, Pastor Kemal, who's in Kerenia in the north, and he's asked me to come and preach in his church. There's over 4,000 Arabic-speaking students in the north of Cyprus that come from Lebanon, from Syria, from Palestinians that come in there and study in the universities. There's a lot of African students there. We've got one person we've connected with who's the daughter of someone in the church in Pretoria, South Africa. Now Pastor Brown is putting us on to a couple from his church in Zimbabwe that are going to be studying in the north of Cyprus. And I'm looking to that and praying that might give us an opening, maybe among students, to be able to share and have a Bible study, maybe services, you know. And also we've made friends with one family in the north of Cyprus. We visit them, and initially in fear and trepidation, I said, well, can I pray for the family before we go? And they said yes. And I said, in Jesus' name. And they, yeah, no problem. And now they won't let me go until I've prayed for the whole family and everything. So that's the north of Cyprus. Next time I'll tell you about the south.
Thanks, Pastor Larry. We have also just wanted to introduce Sidoni here. She is from Cameroon, but she lives in Oman and is part of our church. And I want you to get to know her also. And then maybe Karina would come and say something also from Paris. Okay. And after that, Pastor Shara will say something.
She's going to translate me. I got saved 20 years ago. I was born in a Muslim family in France. Tradition. Exactly like Pastor Hussein said. I was touched by the message of the love of God. I never heard such thing. And that God was our father. It was an American girl that told me about the gospel.
Parce que je suis moitié algérienne par ma mère.
So from my mother, I'm from Algeria.
Et mon père est du Maroc.
From Morocco, by my father.
Je suis très attachée au Maroc.
I'm very close to my Moroccan roots.
Et depuis que je suis convertie, je me rapproche de l'Algérie.
And since I got saved, I'm getting closer from my Algerian roots, actually.
Voilà. Je suis très touchée par Pasteur Mati.
I was so touched when Pastor Mati.
Ça me touche profondément.
I'm so deeply touched when he says.
L'image qu'on a des Arabes.
About, you know, like this image people do have from Arabic people.
Avoir une image négative.
Don't have a negative image.
C'est ça qui me touche pas.
This is what really touches me.
C'est comme quand Dieu avec Jonas.
It's exactly like God with Jonas, you know.
Quand en fait Dieu a compassion.
God has compassion about Nineveh. He has compassion of people. That's it.
Yeah, before Pastor Saleh comes, we also have a report from Iraq. So this is important. Listen to this.
Thank you, Pastor. I just want to start out with saying in 1980 and 81, when Pastor Richard Warren Brandt came to Bible College and we would listen, I never thought in my lifetime I would hear and see the communist walls come down. And so I think it's like this generation of, you know, we are facing great opposition, but with God, these walls can come down in all these Arab countries, these Mideast countries. In April and May, I had the honor to go with Billy Graham's ministry, Samaritan's Purse. They have a tented hospital right in Mosul where the war is going on, like we were just a couple miles away. And it's Christians from around the world, mostly the United States, some Canadians, Australians, Austrians, just Christians from around the world. And the World Health Organization was begging for a hospital group, a humanitarian group, to come, and all the NGOs left. And Samaritan's Purse, Franklin Graham, said, when all the NGOs go, God's people go in. And it just so much reminded me of our church, our ministry. We have gone into so many places that were underground, you know, fearful by the world. But with God, it's like, what do we have to fear? I mean, God is the one parting the Red Sea and making a way. So I went in April and May, and the complex was about as big as our church parking lot. It was all tents. We took care of mostly women and children that they get blown up in war. They get blown up by IEDs. The closest hospital was 3 hours away, and they would bleed to death. So Franklin Graham said, we're going in the name of Jesus. And we had complete liberty. I could wear my cross. I could share the gospel. I could, you know, you still use wisdom because you're taking care of people that are very critically or acutely ill. So, you know, the primary mission is to help them. But I had two amazing spiritual things said back to me. The day I went to leave, I worked 13 days, 12 hours a day, and I didn't even know if I could physically do it. But the grace of God, I'd come back every day and I'd say, okay, God, okay, God. And it's not that I wanted to get it done. I just wanted to physically be able to do it, and mentally and emotionally. And the last day I was there saying goodbye to the female Iraqi Christian doctor who spoke English, who I had more of a relationship with, and then separately the Iraqi nurse who I didn't think I had that much of a connection with because she didn't speak English, and I was just so busy taking care of, you know, three-year-olds with both their legs missing, you know, 17 patients like that. They both told the interpreter separately, like it wasn't like one was saying, yeah, yeah. They both said, I was like sunshine coming into the ward. And you don't go in like, yay, ha ha. You know, these are dying, critically ill. But you go in and you say, God, anoint me, use me. And when I would have the chance, I would say, you know, I give this cup of cold water in the name of my Jesus. I am here because of Jesus. So it might be just one sentence here and there. So it was, you know, these two, you know, healthcare workers that said that. And then the patient that I had that was the most touching, I took care of her most of my 3 weeks there, except the last day she'd gotten transferred out. She came 40 days ago. She had been blasted in a mortar wound, had her leg almost blown off, but she was pregnant. And she waited 10 days to come to the hospital. because she wanted to give birth. She was afraid we would take her baby and she'd never see it again. So by the time she came, she was very infected. They tried for weeks to save it. At the end, they had to open it up. It was a huge wound. I would cry in my heart taking care of her. And she told the interpreter that I had hands and eyes of mercy. And I only say that because this is why I go. I'm here in the name of the Lord in mercy. But it's just an amazing thing. The peace of God. We had like all this physical protection, but a drone had come over. It could have dropped grenades as they were doing. But you just felt this bubble from God. When God does something, it doesn't matter if the war is right there. I mean, they could have drove up with the ambulances and had suicide. I mean, all these things could have happened, but God. And that's what we have to keep looking at, the but God. So I just think it's like when God gives you that opportunity, just, you know, we're either a fool for this world or a fool for Christ. And I would rather live and die being a fool for Christ than stay safe in my own little bubble and get to heaven old instead of doing what God called me to do with all my heart, soul, mind, and spirit.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Just, Pastor Shari, say something to us. Just before he comes, I just want to say to you that if you are afraid and if you have this kind of uncertainty about this area, so come and visit us. Come and be with us. And come and celebrate Christmas with us in Oman. Yeah, that's a good idea. So,
well, did I hear that correctly? Well, Christmas in Oman. Wow. Well, that'd be amazing. Let's see. Do we have a Bible? Mark chapter 10. I'll read a verse. This is a Bible conference. Mark 10, verse 30. Wow, this is really, the young people would really be frustrated with the old people flipping through the pages trying to find a Bible verse. Okay. In the beginning, what Pastor Mati said really touched our hearts, touched my heart very much, that there's maybe 500 million people and in this part of the world. And like God really uses him to actually lead us and speak to our hearts about missions and to think about this. So I love that, you know. I love that, to just be so refreshed thinking, you know, what, like, go, you know, like I'm talking to myself. It just is amazing. And when we lived in Finland, like we were thinking, like, you know, we can go to the Soviet Union. And that's what happened. And Pastor Monty would say that God had put it in his heart to the people in Central Asia. And then over time, he was living in Sweden, and the Soviet Union was just, you know, never giving him a visa again. And then what happened? You know, the wall came down, and you know, he went running over there. And also he influenced me and led me, the Lord used him, to go to Hungary. And we just said, let's go there, and we can do this. You know, God is with us. So that was 27 years ago. Wow. I didn't know that it was 27 years. Yeah. So after he's done, you know, five or six countries, he said, you know, let's go to, well, maybe four or five. Who's counting? You know, we have to be accurate about that. So then, after Kazakhstan, he moved to Turkey, you know, and then just helping us think about the different parts of the world, and here we are. And this is a verse, I think, that's, you know, where are we? Mark 10, verse 30. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. You know, when you are 19 years old reading that verse, that's like one thing. But when you're 65 years old reading that verse and saying it's true, you know, that's like where we're at. Like, that's where he's at. I think even when you're 70 years old or something. That's where we're at. We're at the end of our lives and saying, with all of our hearts, that it is fun to lead people to Christ. It really is. It is, you know, it is the greatest, we could say, secret in the world. The best secret in the world is that if you give up everything and you do it for his sake and the gospel's sake, their return is amazing. And I think one of the things that the American Christian is looking for is a mission. The American believer is looking for a mission. Our mission is our mortgage payment, our patio furniture. Mission is our car or our family, or our mission is our future, our security, our retirement. We have a mission, but this mission, this is amazing. If you, how's it say? For 29, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands or for my sake in the gospels, but he shall receive 100-fold. You know, if I wrote the Bible, I'd say you get twice. You know, 1.5, okay? But 100-fold? It's like, wow, that's amazing. Yeah, so, amen. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you all for coming, and once again, we are here, we are available to talk with you, to encourage you, to pull you with us, invite you. So thank you for coming. God bless you. Happy Missions March.